The theme this month is on the heroes of the faith. This month's study is the heroes of the faith. And tonight we're going to look at perhaps one of the greatest heroes of the faith in the Bible. We're looking at Abraham, who believed for the impossible. Abraham, who believed for the impossible. How many are excited about God's word here tonight? You know, Abram and his wife Sarai were facing an impossible situation in their life. And the impossible situation that Abram and Sarai were facing was having biological offspring at a very old age. All right, so we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. If you got a Bible, you can follow along with me. If not, I'll read it to you. We're studying a little about the life of Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Verse 4. So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. All right, so we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 15. So basically, in Genesis chapter 12, God makes a promise to Abram. He says, "Abram, I am going to make you into a great nation." And at this point, Abram and Sarai had no biological offspring. He was 75 years old when God spoke this to him. We're going to turn to Genesis chapter 15, where God reconfirms his promise to Abram. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abram said, "O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" Verse 3. And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." So what was God again telling Abram? He was promising to make him into a great nation. And remember, at this point, Abram was old, Sarai was old, and what God was promising to make him into a great nation, to give him biological offspring. Again, God confirms it in Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. When Abram was 99 years old, so God again here, years later, when he's 99 years old, confirms this promise to Abram. The Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." So he's 99 years old. He still has no biological offspring. But God made the promise to him that he would give him children. He would make him into a great nation. Then we're going to jump over to verse 15 of Genesis 17. God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her." All right. God is good all the time. Amen?
Amen.
How many here believe that we serve a miracle-working God? Amen?
Amen?
All right. Let's see what Paul writes in Romans 4 concerning Abraham. Romans 4, verse 18. He says this. Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 4, 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. What does this mean, against all hope? What does it mean when Paul writes in Romans 4:18, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed? What does it mean, against all hope? Against all hope. What it means is this. It means that common sense, natural reasoning, biological and physiological possibilities that could support hope were all against Abraham in his old age. Let me say it again. It means that common sense, natural reasoning, biological and physiological possibilities that could have supported hope were all against Abraham in his old age. You know, common sense and natural reasoning could have said, Abraham, were you 40 years younger, you might could have a child. You know, biological and physiological possibilities could have said to Sarah, were you 45 years younger, you might could have a child. But all these things, common sense, natural reasoning, biological and physiological possibilities were screaming to Abraham, screaming against him, saying, Abraham, it is not possible for you in this old age to have a biological child. So he was facing an impossible situation, humanly speaking, in his life. Would you agree here tonight?
Amen.
All right. So, but his faith, Abraham had faith. He had great faith. He had faith in an all-sufficient God. His faith in an all-sufficient God outweighed the impossibility of having a child in his very old age. Let me say that again. Remember this. His faith in an all-sufficient God outweighed the impossibility of having a biological child late, so late in life. He had great faith. He had great faith in God. And that great faith in God outweighed all the odds. Do you agree here tonight?
Amen.
And friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that you might be facing an impossible situation in your life here tonight. It's probably not having a biological child in your old age. But still, you might be facing an impossible situation in your life in the here and now. Perhaps you've had a cancer diagnosis. Maybe it's advanced, and the doctors and surgeons are saying it's impossible to reverse it. They're saying it's impossible to reverse it. It's a terminal illness. So naturally speaking, medically speaking, maybe the doctors have given you no hope. Maybe it's a heart condition, and they're telling you that you could drop dead of a heart attack at any time. There's no way to reverse the heart condition. It's an impossible situation in your life. Maybe some family member dear to your heart has divorced herself from you. And maybe people are telling you there's way too much damage that's been done. This person has left you. There's no way that this relationship can be reconciled. This person will not come back into your life. So maybe relationally, you're facing an impossible situation in your life tonight. Maybe you're dealing with a mental illness here tonight. Maybe bipolarism, where you're happy at times and then you get sad and depressed. You're happy and you get sad and depressed. And maybe the doctors have told you that you'll always have to be on meds to balance the chemicals in your brain. And they're saying it's impossible to get off the meds and stay level-headed without the medicine. So the doctors are maybe saying to you that it's impossible to go without the meds. You need the meds to be level-headed. But we serve a God who specializes in making impossible situations possible. Maybe tonight, the impossible situation you're facing maybe is a financial mess. Maybe you're in some type of financial prison tonight. Maybe you've made lots of bad financial choices, and tonight you find yourself like in a financial prison. Maybe you have had to claim bankruptcy. Maybe people are telling you it'll never turn around for you. You'll never pay off this mountain of debt. You'll never own a house. It's impossible, is what people are telling you. Maybe naturally speaking, according to common sense, it might be impossible. But I've got good news for you here tonight. What's the good news? The good news is this. We serve a God who specializes in making impossible situations possible again. We serve a miracle-working God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God who did miracles thousands of years ago in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, is the same God in 2016 in Tulsa who can do a miracle in your life. You might be facing a negative situation, an impossible situation, but God can reverse that negative situation in your life for the better. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
Say it with me tonight. I serve a God,
who specializes,
in making impossible situations,
possible again.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And so we bounce back to Abraham's life in Genesis chapter 21. And a good thing happened. A miracle happened. The miracle of miracles happened in Abraham's life. Genesis chapter 21. And it says this. Verses 1 through 5. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Originally, Abraham was 75 years old when God promised to make him into a great nation. In Genesis chapter 21, we see that he was 100 years old when the promised son, Isaac, was born, through whom the great nation would come. God held fast to his promise. Isn't that awesome? God made possible the impossible situation in Abraham's life. He received the promised son. Remember in Luke 1:37, the angel says to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. If you remember no other scripture tonight, remember this one. Luke 1:37. For nothing is impossible with God. Say it with me tonight. For nothing is impossible with God. And think about that scripture tonight. When you leave this room tonight, after your meal, while you're eating your meal, while you're going to bed, think about that scripture. For nothing is impossible with God. It doesn't matter what logic says. It doesn't matter what natural reasoning says. It doesn't matter what biological and physiological arguments say. My question to you tonight is this. What does God say? God has got the last word. He is the God who specializes in making impossible situations possible again. Friends, physiologically, biologically, it was impossible for Abraham at 100 and Sarah at 90 to have a biological child. Physiologically, biologically, impossible. But God trumped that, and he gave them a biological child when everything around them was saying it can't be done. It's impossible. We serve a God who gets the last word. Amen?
Amen.
You know, for me in my life, I lived in a neighborhood in Tulsa. It wasn't such a bad neighborhood, but there was a certain neighborhood I wanted to live in. It's a nice neighborhood. It was a nice house. But to me, in my mind, years ago, it seemed like virtually impossible that we could live in a nice house in a nice neighborhood. It just seemed impossible in my life personally. But about a year and a half ago, God blessed my wife and I with a very nice house in a nice neighborhood of Tulsa. God did it for me. I believed God. I had faith in God. And guess what? If God could do it for me, God can do it for you. God is no respecter of persons. So my question to you tonight is this. What is God looking for to bring about this miracle in your life? What is God looking for in you and in me to make possible the impossible situation in your life? It's in Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. Romans 4, verse 19. Regarding Abraham. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. It was good as his body was dried up. And that Sarah's womb was also dead. But he also served the God of the resurrection. And Abraham knew this, that God brings life to seemingly dead situations. Verse 20 of Romans 4. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Let me say it again. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. For 25 years, Abraham held on to the promise of God. Remember, he was 75 when God promised to make him into a great nation. He was 100 when that son was born through whom the great nation would come. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. He held on. He did not quit. He persevered in his faith in an all-sufficient and mighty God. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
So my question to you tonight is this. What promise has God made to you personally? You know, in your prayer times, has God promised that he will supernaturally reverse and remove that illness that the doctors are saying is impossible to remove? Has God promised to you in your own personal prayer times that he can reconcile that relationship that others around you are saying is impossible to reconcile? In your own private times with God, has he promised you that he can remove that mental illness, that you would not need the meds anymore? Has God promised you to give you a job or a better job and to remove that mountain of debt from your life? What has God promised you? Remember, he made a promise to Abraham. He said, I'm going to make you into a great nation at 75 years old. He confirmed it again when he was 99. And when he was 100, the promise came to fruition. My question to you tonight is, what promise has God made to you specifically? What promise has God made to you specifically? I'm going to read you a little illustration here. Little illustration about like childlike faith. Two little girls were counting their pennies. One said, I have 5 pennies. The other said, I have 10. No, said the first little girl, you just have 5 cents, the same as I have. But the second child quickly replied, my father said that when he came home tonight, he would give me 5 cents, and so I have 10 cents. The child's faith gave her proof of that which she did not yet see, and she counted it because it had been promised by her father. She had 10 pennies, although she wasn't yet seeing the other 5, because she believed the promise of her father. Do you believe the promise that Father God has made for you in your life specifically? What promise has God made to you? What is God looking for in us for that promise to come to fruition? He's looking for faith. He's looking for faith that outweighs the impossibility of the situation. Say it with me tonight. God is looking for, in me, strong faith that outweighs the impossibility of the situation. In Jesus' name, amen. faith. Abraham had faith. He had strong faith. What is faith? Faith is knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God will do the thing He has promised in your life personally that He will do for you. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
That's what faith is. It's a knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God will do it for you. Remember, Abraham believed for 25 years without wavering through unbelief, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what He had promised. And so you've been waiting a month maybe for the promise that God made to you, maybe 2 months, maybe a year, maybe 2 years. I'm here to tell you, friend, tonight, don't give up on your faith in God. We serve a faithful God. We serve an all-sufficient God. We serve a God who does not lie. We serve a faithful God. He will make good on His promise to you. A lot of you here tonight are right on the edge, on the threshold of receiving that miracle that God has promised to you. You're right there, just about to receive that miracle. Don't give up, because you're almost there. You're on the threshold. What does the writer of Hebrews say in Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So to me it says, if without faith it's impossible to please God, to me it says that with faith it is possible to please God. So what pleases God? What honors God? Your faith, our faith in Him, our knowing that we know deep down on the inside that He will fulfill the promise that He made to you, that He made to me, that He made for us. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't matter what natural reasoning says. It doesn't matter what common sense is screaming out at you. It doesn't matter what biology or physiology is saying to you. They might be screaming at you. They may be trying to fill you with doubt. But guess what? God has the last say. Amen. For nothing is impossible with God. If you honor God with your faith, He will honor your faith by making possible what everyone else was saying was impossible.
Right.
Let me say that again. If you honor God with your faith, He will honor your faith by making possible what everybody else is saying is impossible in your life.
Amen.
Is that good news?
Yes.
How do you strengthen your faith? How do you strengthen your faith? By getting into the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to strengthen your faith in God, you got to be reading this Bible on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Not just at Easter, not just at Christmas. You got to be reading the Word of God consistently. You may not be able to do a bunch of chapters in a day, but you can maybe do 5 scriptures, maybe a chapter, one from Genesis, one from the New Testament. Start getting into the Word of God. The only way to increase your faith is by getting into the written Word of God. This will feed your faith. And also, think back to a miracle that God did in your past. It might have been small. Maybe you were believing God for bus fare, maybe a $2 bus fare, and you had not a penny to your name. You didn't know where it was going to come from. And miraculously, it was provided. That was God. Think back to those small miracles and think in your heart and in your mind, man, you know what? The God who did it for me then, did a miracle in my life way back then, is the same God who can do a miracle for me in a bigger way in the here and now.
Amen.
Is that good news? Remember back to those miracles, to the things that God did for you, the good things He did for you in the past. Maybe it was a pneumonia that you were dealing with physically, or maybe a flu, and you were quickly healed. That was God that did it. The same God that did it then is the same God who could do it in a bigger way in the here and in the now.
Amen.
He could supernaturally remove that cancer from your body. He could supernaturally, He is the divine surgeon. He could supernaturally remove that fatal heart condition from your life.
Lord.
We serve a God who specializes in making possible impossible situations. Amen?
Amen.
Remember, God wants an unrelenting, non-quitting, persevering, childlike faith. Don't give up. Remember, father of our faith, Abraham, waited 25 years. He was a man like us. He was a human like us. If he waited, we can wait. Amen?
Amen.
And as you were listening tonight, you might have thought, well, you know what? I've never even accepted Jesus. And friends, this faith in God, this receiving of the promise that God has made to you all begins with first believing in Jesus Christ. Putting your faith, putting your hope, putting your trust in Jesus Christ, God the Son.